That's right.
You guys just mind slating yourselves? That way we can pick up the...
Oh, no. You know what? Well, you got your accent, so that's good.
Yeah, it's good. Ask him the questions. He knows everything.
We got the accents.
So... Well, we both have accents.
Yeah.
You are so called it. This part three...
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The part three, was this something that you had conceived while you were doing part two? Like, you knew where you were going to take it?
It was something I'd thought about when we were doing part one, actually, because the first movie was conceived as the prequel to the world of the video games. I thought as we were shooting the first one, we were having so much fun doing it, I thought it would be great to do a trilogy where the first one was the prequel to the world of the games. The second one took place during the world of the games and actually tied into the storylines of one of the specific games. And the third one was kind of like a postscript to the world of the games, because I think, as I was playing the games when I first got involved in Resident Evil, you know, the Umbrella Corporation was trying to contain an increasingly bigger infection that got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And obviously the end result of that, the inevitable result of that, is that they can't contain the infection. It gets out and the world is devastated. And what are the ramifications of that? And that was very much what we thought the third movie should be.
What's the conceit with the... Because from the trailers, you see Las Vegas buried under sand and stuff like that. How does that happen? Because I know it's set 8 years in that, like...
Well, there are two reasons why Las Vegas is buried in sand. One of the ideas in the movie is that the T-virus doesn't just affect... humans and animals. It actually fucks up whole ecosystems as well. So it kind of like, as well as messing with life on Earth, it messes with the flora and the fauna, and it destroys ecosystems. So, you know, forests die, rivers and lakes dry up, you know, cornfields turn into deserts. But the idea of Vegas buried in the sands came from a trip I took there about 6 years ago, where there was a sandstorm. And I got to tell you, there was a lot of sand. You know, I was in Vegas and you could see the sand was literally piling up along behind the buildings. And it gave me the idea that, you know, if there was nobody in Las Vegas and you turned off the water, firstly, all the plant life would immediately die without water within about 2 weeks. But also, if you left Vegas for about 2 or 3 years, it would be buried in sand. You know, because the morning after, you know, people were like clearing this stuff out. There's a whole industry in Vegas just to keep the sand out. And if you stop doing that stuff, you know, pretty much the imagery you see in the movie would be the imagery I think you would see.
After the first and the second film, to top it with a third film and make sure you're satisfying the fans?
Well, we did two things. One was we brought Patrick in to do the creatures, because I thought we needed bigger and better and improved creatures, especially zombies, in this movie. I was kind of a little disappointed by the look of the zombies in the second film, and I really wanted them to have a really kick-ass look, and I think Patrick delivered that for us. And the other was... You know, when we made Resident Evil, the first movie, no one had made, like, a proper zombie film in about 20 years. We were the first, but since then there's been a whole slew of undead movies. And there's a whole bunch of imagery that's become very, very familiar. You know, the city, be it American or British, overrun with undead. We did it in Resident Evil Apocalypse, you know, and I felt the way we could top that with this movie was to choose a completely fresh landscape. So the idea is we took the movie into the desert, because it's the least populated part of America. You know, it's like, if it's a world overrun by undead, the last thing you want to do is be in a center of populace where there's tens of thousands of undead. You want to keep on the move so that they're not drawn to the scent, because they're slow and you can be fast as long as you can find the gas to keep your convoy moving. So we took the movie out into the desert, and I think completely changed the look of the film. And I think it's one of the exciting things about the trailer and why we've had such a cool response to it, and people have been really excited about it, is it's just brand new imagery. And very exciting imagery.
I think that what you're saying there was cool also for the zombies, because it's a different environment. You have to create different looks on the zombie. It allowed us to come up with something new for them. Because, you know, although they're dead, they still have to live in the desert. It's a different kind of environment for them, and you allowed
that crusty zombie look. Yeah,
so it's different. The whole concept allowed us to do something fresh, just based on the story, which was
the undead haven't just been. They don't just have the ravages of being the undead. They have the ravages of their environment as well,
exactly.
And that's given the creatures a completely fresh look, I think.
And that really, they helped creating something different. Yeah.
And it's great for the cast as well, because they all get to wear skimpy clothes, really kind of sexy and sweaty, and you know, it's just a whole new vibe. you know, I think our generation of filmmakers were very influenced by The Road Warrior and that kind of post-apocalyptic imagery. And this movie is definitely, you know, definitely influenced by that. You know, we're trying to kind of give a Road Warrior-esque vibe, you know, an end-of-the-world vibe. Because, again, those kind of... While undead movies have become quite popular in the last few years, you know, the apocalyptic movie, which again was a big genre when I was first started going to the cinema, no one's done that. And I think, hopefully, we're just ahead of the curve, just as we were when we made the first Resident Evil. We were the first zombie movie. Now we're the first kind of apocalyptic movie, and then there'll be I Am Legend coming out at Christmas time as well. Only they fuck up New York rather than Las Vegas.
Can you talk about the design of the super zombies?
Well, the super zombies, again, because they're not exposed to the same environment, or at least they're more protected, they're created differently. That allowed us to create two different types of zombies. And getting detail, they're, you know, like Paul said, the ones from the desert are very much like mummies. They're very dry. When the super zombies are all pumped up, they're just like extremely fleshy, extremely powerful. So it creates for a good mix of creatures as well.
I thought they didn't really progress the look of the first one. You know, in the first movie, we had a very specific look, which was, these people have only been dead for like 12 hours. So it's just the early parts of mortification that you're seeing. So they deliberately didn't have, you know, there was a few that had died in particularly spectacular ways. They had a chunk of their head missing or something. But other than that, you know, they were kind of fucked up human beings. The second movie was, you know, I don't think expanded on that look, you know, and it treaded water a little bit. And I think, you know, while I like the second movie, and it certainly did very, very well, I think the second movie was a treading water exercise a little bit. And that's why on the third movie we all pulled our fingers out and tried extra hard. And I know we've made a much, much better movie in the second film, and I think we made a great movie. I mean, I really, really like the film a lot.
Can you talk about bringing up Russell? Russell?
Yes.
Yeah, who was kind of a, you know, he's been around, he's directed a lot of kind of geek classics, I guess you could say, but he's definitely...
Well, talking of geek classics, I mean, the reason why I wanted to work with Russell was, you know, I just loved Highlander. And I felt, you know, Russell pioneered a certain way of shooting that was hugely influential for a lot of filmmakers, including myself. And that's why it was exciting to work with him. And then also, you know, his background as an Australian, he made his very first movie was Razorback, that was shot in the desert. You know, he had the right kind of qualifications to work on this movie. And he's a lovely guy as well.
What is it that you think that makes Resident Evil one of the few successful video game to film franchises? Because there aren't many out there that have succeeded as well as this one.
Every movie is... We put so much work into it. We really try. I mean, this is not... Resident Evil is not a money-making exercise for us. You know, it's... Everyone started working on the very first movie because we loved the idea of making the film. Everyone was very passionate about it. You know, we went to Berlin to go shoot it because I wanted, like, a big look for it, but we didn't have the money to build these big sets, so we had to find a city somewhere that had big underground locations. Each movie's been a labor of love, and I hope that shows in the films the level of quality that we managed to achieve. You know, I'm very respectful of the source material, but I also understand the need to go beyond the source material and provide a fresh story, which sometimes irks the fans because, you know, they can't stand the fact, the hardcore fans I'm talking about, they can't stand the fact that, you know, it isn't an exact reproduction of the video game. But for me, you know, that's a pointless exercise because you may as well just go play the video game again. And I think by broadening it out, we've given a fresh experience for fans of the game. It's sufficiently the game that they feel like it's the game delivered, but it's telling a new story, which is interesting. It's kind of like why you go out and buy a new Resident Evil video game rather than just buying the same one over and over again. You want a similar experience, but you want a new story with, you know, potentially a new set of characters. So we deliver to them, but also we're very aware of trying to deliver to a slightly broader audience as well, you know, who may not have played the video games. And I also think that, you know, that Resident Evil is more than just a zombie movie as well, which is why, you know, the movies ultimately do better business than just straight hardcore kind of genre gore movies. You know, there's a lot of science fiction ideas in Resident Evil that I think make them bigger movies. You know, the cloning, the Umbrella Corporation. I mean, these are all integral aspects of the films.
You've been kind of behind the scenes on the series since number two. You didn't come on board to direct. Was that merely just so you can go on and do AVP in your own side projects? Would you want to come back to the Resident Evil series perhaps?
I got to tell you, I mean, I'm very involved in these films. Yeah. I mean, like on the third one, you know, I was on board before Russell was hired, and I'm still working on the movie now. So being behind the scenes is kind of like... I put a lot into the films, you know, whether I'm, yeah, I put a lot into them. But the fact is, you know, it has allowed me to make several other movies. I mean, in 4 weeks' time, I go and start shooting Death Race,
right.
And but in many ways, you know, producing a movie is actually kind of, it's just as much, if not more, work than actually directing one.
And about Death Race, you know, this is a movie that has another cult following, very devoted, and it's also a film that was very funny. It was a satire.
Yes.
And which is kind of what I think made it work best. But how are you going to, what direction are you going to take that in? Are you going to keep elements of satire, or are you going to...
It's going to be... there'll be a little bit of social commentary in it, just like the original was, you know, a commentary on the times. I mean, a little bit of the new Death Race is a commentary on kind of like reality television, kind of run amok. But we're playing it as a much straighter movie. It doesn't have the kind of campy elements that the first one had. It's a straighter film, but it does have, you know, it's certainly got humor in it. You know, it keeps some key aspects from the original movie. It keeps Frankenstein, it keeps the monster, it keeps Machine Gun Joe. It's a very violent movie like the first one is. It's a hard R-rated film with a lot of blood, and it's a race to the death. You know, so it doesn't matter. You can win in any way. You can be first past the line, or you can just win because there's no one left on the track.
Okay, we're going to switch you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, great.